Testing. Apologize for my voice here and praying that it'll hold out. So I'm only going to go 2 hours today instead of my normal 2.5. So before we get started, just also want to acknowledge, if you didn't see it in the email that came out, that Marinelle sends out, you know, we had a wonderful guest speaker last week. How many really enjoyed John Pockhausel? That was an incredible blessing. We took up a special offering for him, and our collection was $2,000 from our congregation, so praise the Lord. So blessings to you, and thank you all for being so faithful to God and for blessing him, and I'm sure he greatly appreciated it. So let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this Shabbat. Thank you for your presence here with us already in a wonderful, mighty, and unique way. I ask now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be able to present your truth to, in all humility, to feed your sheep today, I pray, oh God. I pray that your Spirit will speak through your word truths that will help us and build us up and edify us, I pray. In the name of Yeshua, amen. It's amazing how it will all work out. That's what a coworker of mine said to me, rather matter-of-factly, about 15 years ago when I was seeking advice. We were praying about where Melanie should go to college, and I told my coworker about the great expense for her to attend the college we were considering, and that we were so torn because the expense was so great. I couldn't imagine paying for 1 year, let alone 4 years times that. And then he said to me, well, you just take it 1 year at a time, and it's amazing how it all works out. As soon as he said this, I knew he was right, and it was a word from God. I suddenly had the faith to press on and to take the plunge. And Melanie went on to Asbury College, and in 4 years, out-of-state private Christian college. And God used this man to speak a word to me that I desperately needed to hear, and it's amazing how we can learn lessons from the unlikeliest sources. Anybody experienced that before? The most unlikely sources God can use to speak to us. And so today I have felt led by the Lord to speak on a subject of parenting from a very unlikely source, the book of 1 Samuel, which is a well-known tool for parental advice and youth as well, right? Parenting is an immense subject, and so this message will only touch on a few tips. And the title of my message is Growing Up with Samuel, the subtitle of Parenting Tips. So we'll focus on the first three chapters of 1 Samuel and examine a hopefully familiar story to you of Samuel's birth and early childhood serving the Lord in the house of Eli. So my text today is from Proverbs 22:6, which we're all familiar with. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. My theme today is to encourage you to be the best parent you can and to exhort our youth to respond so that you can be the best parent you can be and for our youth to respond. And if you are here today and not a parent, I believe there is still something you can learn as well from this message. When you are in a body of believers, we all serve one another. And though you may not have children or be married or your children are adults and long gone, you still are an example, an encourager and teacher of the children of this congregation. You not only have this role in this congregation, but you have it as well in your extended family where you can be an influence and help to the children of your siblings or other relatives that you have. So I'd like to explore my theme today by examining a number of events that take place in the early life of Samuel that we can learn from. So we will look at the following. First, a quick background of the whole story. And then primarily we'll look at the parents' role. Then we'll look at others' role, like serving tea. And then the youth's role. I will not be sharing anything shockingly new to you. All that I will say today, I'm sure you already know. But from time to time, it's good to refresh our memories and to be encouraged, to feel reinforced in what we are doing. And who knows, maybe even learn something new. So let's look at some background first. Before delving into the different roles and the lessons we can learn, a little background is necessary to remind us of the story at hand. So we're going to be focusing again on 1 Samuel chapters 1, 2, and 3. And the three main characters in this section of Scripture are Hannah, Eli, and Samuel. So I pulled out some selections for Hannah, who's the mother of Samuel, and she has many struggles to become pregnant. So we read in 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 17, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.' And Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.'" So we see Hannah is desperate and wants to have a child. Early in the story, she's being abused by the other wife of her husband, Peninnah, who has had numerous children, and she makes fun of her. The second player in the story is Eli, who's a priest. And he has two sons that are very problem guys. Sort of reminds me of the Three Stooges, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand. He would plunge it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. So they were just basically stealing from the people, taking all the choice pieces for themselves. And then these sons also, we read in 1 Samuel 2, 22 to 24, "Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people.'" So his sons were not the best of characters. But yet they were priests serving in the tabernacle. And the third main character is Samuel himself. We read about his unique calling and his service to the Lord, a story that we're so familiar with in 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son Eli," I said, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down. I'm trying to get some rest here. Stop bugging me." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went to lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So this gives us our background generally of the whole story here that we're going to be looking at. And I was reading this devotionally a week or so ago, and it just struck me how the different roles of the parents here and some lessons that we could learn. And to try to encourage you. So let's look at some lessons that parents, what are parents' role in this? The first lesson is attending regular worship. We read in 1 Samuel 1 through 3, "There was a certain man from Ramathim, a Sufite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Yeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tolu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. And jumping down to verse 7 of chapter 1, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. What we see here is that we're repeatedly mentioned that Elkanah and Hannah went up year after year to worship the Lord. This is to come to the three pilgrim feasts, is what most commentators believe this is. They would go up there and sacrifice year after year after year. So they were faithful in worshiping the Lord, faithful in bringing their family there. And so that is a lesson we need to learn, that we faithfully and regularly attend worship services. Make it your family's lifestyle. We set aside time for this. It's important. And you build it into your children when they're young. We know we go to services. We build our lives around it. So that's the first lesson. Regular attendance at services. Worship services. Second lesson is one very unique. And this is going to be hard for you to understand. But I got this unique lesson out of here. But prayer. I bet you never thought of that, right? 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 13. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery and remember me. And we've already read this, how she was praying in her heart, Eli sees her. She's praying continually, seeking the Lord, interceding, because she wants to have a child. Hannah was a woman of prayer. And she believed in personal prayer before the Lord. She was praying herself. Eli thought she was drunk. Kind of reminds us of Acts chapter 2, right? They thought they were drunk, filled with the Spirit. So the lesson here is to be faithful in prayer for your children. Faithful in prayer for your children. The third lesson is one of the importance of a mother. We read in 1 Samuel 2, verses 19 through 20. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one who she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. Each year his mother made him a little robe. She went to Macy's and bought him a new shirt each year. Next size up, size 4, size 6, size 8. Hannah's the one who withstands taunting from Peninnah and earnestly seeks God for a child, prays for the child, and then dedicates him to the Lord and brings him new clothing every year. I recently just celebrated the noteworthy birthday. I turned 39. And so I must reach a certain age where I've had some observation of life, so I'm going to risk saying something here. I'm going to risk it. So please get ready. Despite how enlightened we are now about fathers playing an important role in raising our children, which is a good thing, a great thing, let's face reality. As much as you may not want to hear it, the reality is that mothers still play the most important role in raising their children. They're nursing them, nurturing them, taking care of them in the formative years. Mothers seem to have more stamina. They have their second nature from God, I think, is what it is. It's built into them. How do I know this? My own experience. Though I am a great father, I didn't hear any amens out there, but I'm not ignorant or unappreciative that the great amount of influence in my three daughters' life has been Nita. I don't think I'm no slouch, but I do face reality. She spent the vast bulk of time with them, was a stay-at-home mom and homeschooled them. She invested herself in them and taught them spiritual lessons on a daily basis, listened to them, befriended them, and a great example. Other examples there too, Yeshua himself. His mother was really the primary influence in his life. Joseph taught him to be a carpenter. But Joseph disappears from the scene at the age of 12. I think that when they come back to find him, they've lost him. Yeah, they go up for Passover, and they have traveled off a couple of days. They come back and find him. That's the last we hear of Joseph. And by tradition, most people believe that Joseph died because he's no longer heard from. You know, when she was on the dying, his mother is there at the foot of the cross. Where was his father? Other times, he ministered to his need. You know, where was he? Joseph is not mentioned. So Yeshua's own mother was an important role in his life. So we need to face it. The lesson is, mothers, you are an invaluable resource to the development of your children. And husbands, be mindful of this fact and do all you can to support your wife and uphold her during those formative years while you provide input into your children's life as well. The fourth lesson is that we need to dedicate our children to the Lord as a parent. And she made a vow in 1 Samuel 1:11. She made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever hit be upon his head. She says she made a vow to God where she would basically dedicate the child to the Lord. He would be a Nazarite. No razor would touch his head. And they would be not given to strong drink. Or no drinking the fruit of the vine. I mean, look at what he missed out on in life. Samuel, we all dedicate our children to God, don't we? But it also means something else. And this is the lesson. We don't own them. Hannah didn't own Samuel. She prayed desperately for him, wanted him. But she gave him to the Lord. We have temporary custody of our children and raising them. And they ultimately will become adults. And it's already been mentioned here once before, they have a gift that you had as well and that every human being on this earth has, the gift of free will. The text today is from Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Do you know what the Hebrew word is for train up there? Hanuk, the root from Hanukkah, to dedicate. Dedicate your child in the way he should go. Dedicate yourself to teaching him in the way he should go. And this is our hope, that even if they reject God, and when they're old, they will hopefully not depart from it. They'll remember what their mother said. Remember what their father said. The lesson is do all you can to dedicate your children to the Lord and train them. But remember that you don't own them and that they ultimately have free will to make their own choice. The last lesson for the parents is you need to trust others to be used by God to minister to your children. In 1 Samuel 1:21 through 22, we read, when the man Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice of the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord. And he will live there always. Most commentators believe this happened when he was about 2 to 3 years old, is when they were still nursing a child, sometimes up to the age of three, in that ancient time. And so Elkanah and Hannah trusted their only son to another person, gave him to Eli and to the Lord, really. Trusted him that their son would be treated properly and would be taught about the ways of God. Remember a number of years ago, my daughter Mary was 14 years old and was going on a missions trip to Russia at the age of 14, barely qualified through the Teen Mania organization, which many here have benefited from. And Melanie had already been on one or two trips, and we've had other family members on them, and so we kind of gotten used to the routine. I remember driving out to Dulles Airport and sitting in the car, I was just dropping everybody off as I was going to go park and then come back in. So I was just sitting there in the car, everybody's getting out, and they're popping the trunk to get all the luggage out, and I'll never forget turning around in the car and putting my hand and looking back into the back seat, and this overwhelming feeling came over to me. What are you doing? You're sending your 14-year-old daughter off with a bunch of people you don't know a thing about. You don't know any of these people. "What are you doing?" And I said to my wife, that, no, she wasn't the one that said that. And it struck me is that I just have to trust her to God. I'm putting it in your hands, Lord. And then I suddenly realized, what else more can I do? That's the safest place to be. And so we entrusted her to God's hands, and she had a wonderful time, and hasn't done too badly since then. But the lesson is, do not be afraid to let other godly people speak into the lives of your children. In fact, seek it out. If you don't know already, you are not the source of all knowledge. We need others and need to rely on others. That's what a congregation is for, too. So we've looked at some lessons for parents. Let's look at the role of others, since I just talked about that we need to let others minister into the Lord, into the lives of our children. So what are the roles of the others, who are all of us here? We may be the others I will be speaking about. Many here are entrusting their children to the instruction of this congregation, including our Shabbat school and Haderach, and in many other ways. The first one is our role is to instruct and let serve. We read in 1 Samuel 3:1 that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord and under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. Eli let Samuel minister before the Lord, even though he's not quite kosher per the Torah. Aren't you supposed to be 30 years of age before you begin serving? Here's Samuel, a young boy. The lesson we need to learn is we need to faithfully instruct children and young people to serve in service to the Lord and lead them and let them lead as well. Maybe Eli instructed him because he was making up for the failures of his own sons who he watched. Maybe he thought, maybe I have another chance with this young man here. I can bless him and influence him. But we have to instruct and let them lead. We need to let them come and take our places. The second lesson for us as others is we need to teach them hearing from God. 1 Samuel 3:8-9, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel was taught to hear God's voice by another person, by Eli. And Eli taught him life's greatest lesson, to hear the voice of God. Despite all the failings of his sons and their ultimate fate at the hands of the Lord, Samuel learned life's most important lessons from Eli. And that's the greatest lesson we as parents can teach our children, is how to hear the voice of God. Our speaker last week, remember him saying how he had received these visions from God, instructing him, and then the way came clear for him? It can carry you through your whole life if you can learn how to hear the Lord speaking to you. We listen, and we hear God's voice, number one, through the Word, through the Bible. He's already spoken. But then we can also hear through prayer and through relationship with him. The voice behind us, telling us which way to turn, to the left or the right. The lesson we need to faithfully instruct children and young people how to hear and recognize God's voice. We, all of us here. It's easier when they are young, when they won't have so much of life's doubts and confusions and garbage in the way. The next lesson we need to present as others is make them available to supernatural experiences. We read in 1 Samuel 3:9-11, the continuation of that same story. So Samuel went to lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel and gives him a prophetic word. Samuel is taught to have a supernatural experience with God by another person, by Eli. we read that he was sleeping in the holy place next to the menorah. He was waiting, you know, to keep the candles burning, the oil burning. What a place to sleep. The Lord comes and stood there and called to him as at other times. I'm so thankful that my daughters have had supernatural encounters with God as young children. Melanie, as a young girl, saw my wife walking on the beach down the way and saw, and when she Nita came back in, she said, "Mommy, who was that walking with you who was wearing a blue robe and had a brown beard?" One of my other daughters has saw angels in our house dancing and praising God. Others have had dreams and hearing angels sing. I'm so grateful that they've had supernatural experiences with God because it helps remove doubt. Are we fostering an environment in our services for not only our children and youth, but adults as well, to have supernatural experiences with God? Are we giving them opportunities to learn and to receive? Our young people, we've been attending Choir of the Fire over the years, Camp Kesher, the Tikkun conferences. There's a grassroots event that's happening for more young adults, 20s and 30s. Yes, I say, go to these things. Send your children to these things so they can have experiences with God to be learned and be taught by others and be in an environment where there's supernatural things happening. It costs money. So what? What's the most important thing in your life? Where your money, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember, it's amazing how things work out, my friend said to me. Plan for these things. You know they're coming up. We'll save a little extra. But invest in your children. Invest in them. The last lesson is for us, as others here, is to be sure you guard your example. 1 Samuel 3:11-14. The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Eli failed to restrain his sons, even as adults. God held them responsible. Resulted ultimately in their judgment against them and his entire family." We got to guard our example. Samuel saw the example of these guys, the two sons, and he saw Eli's example. So our lesson is we must remember that people are watching us and our actions speak louder than words. So we've looked at the role of parents, we've looked at the role of others, and now let's look at the role of our youth. They have a role in all this too. The first lesson there is to be thankful for your parents. And though there's no specific verse where Samuel is thankful for his parents, I read over and over again that he always goes back to his hometown of Ramah, which is where his parents were from. We read in 1 Samuel 7:17, much later on in the story of Samuel. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also judged Israel, and he built an altar there. He always went back home. He lived at home. Exodus 20:12, and God's top 10 list, number 4 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you." Samuel never forgot where he came from. He lived in Ramah, where his parents may have still been living, along with his brothers and sisters. We don't know, but they may have still been living a long time while he judged Israel. Be thankful for your parents. Even if you have a stepfather or stepmother, be respectful and pray God will help you to love and to adjust. And you will make it. And be thankful and bless your parents. Be thankful for them. The second lesson is to develop a tough skin. Or, sorry for my day, I can't think of the current day, but when I was a teenager and going through all this, you were proclaimed a weirdo. I don't know if that's still a prevalent word or not, you know. But if you try to serve God and obey godliness, you'll be considered a weirdo, a goof, an idiot, a nerd, or whatever other word there is for it. You read in 1 Samuel 2:18 through 19, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. And that phrase has struck me. A boy wearing a linen ephod. It's kind of like, what? A boy wearing a linen ephod? Who do you think you are? That's what the priests are supposed to do. It's a little kid. Now, we don't know this. I'm just implying all this from here, but he may have been ridiculed by the other two sons, possibly. Like, who's this little guy think he is, you know? We're the big shots here. We're running this place. We got lots of girlfriends. We got good food. Who's this little guy think he is? So too in your lives, he may have been bullied, maybe even, you know. And so you too will probably be ridiculed, mocked, bullied, made fun of if you take a godly stand about life and try to live in accordance to God's commandments. So you need to develop a thick skin to withstand. You know, to withstand that, expect it. But still stand firm and say no. The third lesson is that you too, as a young person, need to be able to receive from others, to learn from others, receive from them. 1 Samuel 2:26, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor of the Lord and with men. Samuel learned from Eli. He was instructed in the tabernacle service. He slept in the holy place, lit the candles. He learned all the right things. He didn't learn the wrong things. He saw Hophni and Phinehas. He saw their example. And he could have followed them. Man, they were having a great time, weren't they? But he didn't. They served together with Samuel, but Samuel did not learn from their bad examples. And you may have people close to you that are bad examples. You may have brothers or sisters that are bad examples, or even a parent who's a bad example. But you need to fight through. Justin is saying amen to that over here. We may need some special prayer after service here for the Edie family. Even Samuel was not immune to learning from bad examples, though. As great as Samuel is, he watched Eli's bad example in parenting and unfortunately seems to have picked up some of that. But because we read in 1 Samuel 8, much later on, verses 1 through 3, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. Isn't it fascinating? The great man Samuel. Yet he sees Eli's bad example and unconsciously follows it himself. The next lesson for you as a youth is to seek supernatural experiences. We've already read in 1 Samuel 3, 9 through 11, where Samuel was laying down in the holy place and God came and stood next to him and called him by name. Be open to supernatural experiences with God. You can have them just as well as anybody else. Dreams, visions, visitations, God speaking to you. You can have them too. Don't consciously turn your mind off from this. It will never happen to me, because it can. You can even have a vision on your phone if you're looking at it. You know, God can speak right through. No, I'm just joking here. But if we're so wrapped up in so many things and we never pay our attention to God, we're so many, the next thing. But be open to supernatural experiences. The final lesson is to learn to recognize God's voice. We've already read the verse that Samuel was taught to listen to Eli. Again, the most important lesson you can learn is to learn and just distinguish and understand God's voice. It will guide you throughout life. Again, God's voice, he's already spoken to us in this Bible. Read this. Let it be part of your life. Ingest it. Make it who you are. Read it. Study it. And then also you'll be open to him speaking to you, to your heart, to your spirit, to your mind. When my coworker gave me that advice, God used it to free me from worry and anxiety and filled me with faith that we could do this, that with God's help, we could afford to send Melanie to Asbury College. And God used this unlikely source to minister to me. And it's been my hope today that from the unlikely source of 1 Samuel, you have been freed today from worry and anxiety over raising your children. And that this has been replaced by faith that your children are in God's hands and that he will work with you and them to bring about his purposes. The title of my message has been Growing Up with Samuel. My theme has been to encourage you to be the best parent you can and for our youth to respond. The text has been Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. To the parents and the children and young people listening today, you can do everything right, but unfortunately, there are no guarantees. Your children and young people have the same gift from God that we all do, free will. You can do everything right, but they will make their own choice. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can lay everything before them. I've brought you to services. I've made you, taken you to events. It's all laying there for you. They have to partake of it themselves. You can't make them. You can present everything to them, but it's ultimately their decision. Young people, choose to follow Yeshua. He loves you and has a plan for you and wants you to succeed in life, even more than your parents do. You have a choice. Yeshua talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. There's two roads that you can take in life. And I think the best way I've seen this ever expressed is through a poem by Robert Frost, which I want to conclude with, called The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long. I stood and looked down one as far as I could and to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. I took the road less traveled by, the narrow road. Choose that today. Make the choice in your mind. You'll have problems, and down on that road, there'll be bumps and there'll be somebody trying to drag you down to the other road. But don't listen to them. Stay on that road. Stay on it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of